morning. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. So very happy to have you joining us. If you're listening in Richland Center on WRCE, wherever you are around the state, around the country, around the world, you can join the show. Call or text 855-75-CIVIC. Leave a comment on the live stream if you're watching on Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter. You can always email now. New email address, much easier. Jane Says, J-A-N-E-S-A-Y-S, Jane Says at civicmedia.us. If you have a suggestion for a guest or a topic or something going on in your community that you would like to get highlighted, all you have to do is let us know. As she does every Thursday at this time, we are joined by Dr. Kristen Lyerly for our public service announcement. Good morning, my friend. How are you?
Good morning. I'm well. How are you?
We're doing great. I do want to wrap up a discussion we had right before the news. We did a round of the good, the bad, and an encounter with a moose. The Iditarod the Iditarod sled dog race is going on right now in Alaska, and one of the mushers had an encounter with a moose, and they're very large and very cranky, and he had to shoot the moose. And part of the rules in the Iditarod are if you're the hunter who takes down the moose, you have to gut the moose before you can move on in the race. And we had just had, we had one texter, and I think this is so priceless, from the 608. I once gutted a moose and a license plate came out.
I just imagine Back to the Future, the license plate spinning around.
I'm just thinking about the moose's GI system, and that's the only way the license plate is going to come out.
Seriously. I mean, do you do it in bites? Anyway, thank you for that text. That was very, very funny. We're going to talk about red wine right now.
Yeah.
Red wine, Dr. Lyerly, was the miracle thing, right? That was the explanation for why French people in particular can eat such rich foods and all the sauces and all the pâtés and all the butter. And supposedly it was red wine. Red wine is good for your heart. Red wine is healthy. What is the current status of red wine?
Well, back in the 80s and 90s, we were told that red wine, a glass of red wine every day, was great because it would flush out your arteries. That must be the logic. And there were actually a bunch of studies that showed that this was true. They compared non-drinkers with drinkers. And I mean, usually when there are a lot of studies, this means it's valid science and it's real. So we believed it and we liked it because we liked to drink.
Exactly.
And some of the studies even showed that it doesn't have to be red wine. It could be beer. It could be alcohol. There was just something about the effect of the alcohol that was actually good for you. So that's a win-win for us, especially in Wisconsin, the drunkest state in the country.
Yes. Definitely. And I get the feeling that there is a but coming.
But in 2006, they started to think about, you know, what was this real? I mean, is it possible that all of these studies really do say this? Because studies were starting to show that it wasn't real. So they re-examined all of this old science and they looked at these people who were not drinking in these studies. And as it turns out, in many of these studies, they weren't drinking for a reason. And that reason was they had health conditions where they couldn't drink, or they were taking medications where they couldn't drink. So the studies were biased and the conclusions were not valid. And at that point, this was 2006-ish, the general idea was that drinking wasn't great for you. It wasn't bad for you.
Right.
Maybe there was some health benefit, but it wasn't that great thing that we thought it was back in the 80s and 90s. Yeah.
Brought to you by the red wine industry. Thank you very much.
Right. Well, you know, of course, there is a lot of money tied up in this. And so, you know, there's pushback and there are lobbyists and there's all this money that's wrapped up in this. Well, then the news got actually even worse.
Uh-oh.
Because in 2022, new really good data has come out that tells us that even light drinking can lead to blood pressure problems, heart problems, and this has always been the case, cancer. Alcohol, whether it's beer, wine, or straight up alcohol, is a carcinogen. And the World Health Organization has for a very long time said that no amount of alcohol is safe. So that's where we are right now. Red wine is not good for your heart. And in fact, no amount of alcohol is considered safe.
I'm very happy that I barely drink anymore. I might in a month, I might have 3 beers and maybe a shot at the club. But I know that that's going to go away too. I know I'm going to be done drinking, and not because of a problem.
Right.
It's because
it's just not your thing.
It's not my thing. And like you said, it's a carcinogen and it's a poison, and getting drunk isn't fun. And hangovers in your 40s, they're like a week. No, thank
they
you.
Are. But you know, for many people, it is fun. And hearing this information is like, what? Because it's inconsistent with what you want to believe.
Exactly. Definitely.
And you've seen the science change. And this is the nature of science. It's not locked in. It's always changing and always evolving and hopefully always getting better. But I think the key point here is make informed decisions. If you choose to drink, that's fine. Just know what the risks and benefits are and make good choices for yourselves. There are benefits to drinking, maybe not health benefits, but there can be social benefits to drinking, but there can also be social problems associated with drinking.
I'm prettier when drinking happens.
Choice.
Yeah.
Well, and I think, Greg, you are part of a larger group and a growing group of people, because we see more and more bars that are opening that are alcohol free.
Yeah.
And a lot more, you know, there's the whole yellow section at Green Bay Packer games now, where people who do not drink and want to have a good time can still go and enjoy themselves.
Yeah.
And so I think that is these mixologists and all these people who are making these wonderful creations without alcohol. This is a growing trend. And I think maybe not for the liquor industry, but for the healthcare industry, this is good news.
I mean, at the club, we offer... You know, there was a time where if you wanted to go alcohol free at a club, that means, or at a anywhere, it means you're drinking soda
or a juice.
Yeah. Exactly. And they're going to charge you $7. Mm-hmm. But like at the club, we have delicious NA beers, fine mocktails, and we have options for people. And it's so wonderful to see people's faces light up when you tell them, not just that we have like, you know, soft drink options, but we actually have fancy fun options.
Yeah.
They feel included.
Absolutely.
And
that, and
the NA world has gotten leaps and bounds better.
So much better. Yeah, definitely. So many more choices. And now aren't they doing NA spirits too?
NA spirits, NA wine, NA beer. I mean, you name it, they're making non-alcoholic versions of it. And it's just gotten better and better over the years.
If you have a question for Dr. Lyerly during our public service announcement, you can call or text at 855-75-CIVIC. Cindy from Appleton. Good morning, Cindy. Thank you so much for joining us. Did you have a question for Dr. Lyerly?
Well, I have more of a comment. Hearing that I can't have my red wine anymore makes me want to drink.
You can still have your red wine. You can still have your red wine, Cindy. Just make an informed decision, and maybe sometimes you want to have NA red wine.
Yeah, and it would be nice if there was an option, because I've had some NA wines and they don't taste very good, so I'm hoping they're going to start coming up with something better. But I've had some pretty good mocktails, which is great, but... You know, like I said, this could be enough news to drive people to drink.
Yeah. Sorry.
Thank you so much, Cindy. And thank you for listening. Really appreciate it. You can always join us, too, at 855-75-CIVIC or leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform that Elon has ruined.
And you're from Maine. Can't wait for Mike's soft iced tea. That's funny. That's very funny.
But I do wish, like Cindy and I have tried some non-alcoholic wines. They got a ways to go.
Yeah.
They have a ways to go. And I think that there would be a really big market for that if they can come up with something that's, and these things take time, but something that's just a little bit more palatable might be nice.
Yeah. I feel like that's the trend now. Everything that Greg just said, we're moving in that direction. Mm-hmm. It's just going to take time.
Absolutely. Anything else we should know about red wine?
Well, there was a study that recently came out that showed that of people, so sometimes people have a lot of plaque, like gunk in their arteries and their tubes. So, you know, you've got these arteries, these carotid arteries that carry the blood from your heart up to your brain, and they can get really gunked up with stuff. So doctors can go in there like Roto-Rooter, those carotid plaques, it's true, a lot of people have this done. And what they found is in 60% of the people who have their carotids, it's called an end arterectomy, they find evidence of microplastics.
That's terrifying.
Microplastics in your arteries that lead to your brain.
I am not surprised one bit.
Think of all the things, all the drinks we consume that's in plastic, all of our food that's wrapped in plastic. This seems, it's terrifying, but it actually almost seems inevitable. It really does. Tom from Jackson is on the line. Good morning, Tom. Thanks for joining us.
Hi. Well, going back to the alcohol question, I was wondering if you measured how much alcohol is needed to, you know, help bring people together. You know, is it 2 or 3? If you get to 5 or 10, is it, you know, does it actually dull people's senses and, you know, certainly their wits? And I was wondering if there are any results that really show if there is a benefit, how much and
where does it kick in? We need like a Fujita scale for drinking. Right.
So, I would defer to the guy who owns the comedy club to answer this question. I think he knows better than anybody.
I think that you when you stay within that 2 to 3 range, that's where your sweet spot is. Once you get over that hump, I read a really great article that says I'm a 3-drink drunk, which means once you hit that third drink, your senses are dulled, your taste buds are dulled, shots start tasting like water, and if you have a party sensibility, you're like, let's keep going. So honestly, if you are a regular person who can handle their alcohol, I would say 2, maybe 3 cocktails, beers, and then put that water in there.
Yeah.
Put that water between drinks.
Angie from Monroe texting in, I stopped drinking years ago. I never really drank often. The hangovers were ruthless. I actually had too much fun. I stopped remembering my night, but I do smoke the marijuana. No matter how much I smoke, though, I'm still in control of my body and can remember my night without my head in a toilet. Legalize it in Wisconsin. Thank you, Angie. Mm-hmm. All right, stay with us. If you have a question for Dr. Lyerly, 855-75-CIVIC. Stay close. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Takes a swing, man. She can't hurt. She don't mean no harm. She just don't know what else to do about it. Jane.
And the freedom.
Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Box, Sweet Cal B on the board. We are joined every Thursday at this time with Dr. Kristen Lyerly. Public cervix announcement. If you ever have a health question, 855-75-CIVIC, or you can email it, send it in a week ahead of time at janesays@civicmedia.us. On Dr. Lyerly, we're going to move over to Alabama.
I love that band.
Not the band, the state. Alabama lawmakers gave final passage last night to a bill intended to give legal protection to in vitro fertilization clinics after the Alabama Supreme Court ruled that embryos are human beings. This ultimately doesn't fix anything, does it, Dr. Lyerly?
It really doesn't.
It doesn't.
It provides a little bit of reassurance, but they haven't addressed the fundamental problem, which is that a caterpillar is not a butterfly. You know, it's not the same thing. And until we start treating medical procedures like medical procedures and getting politics out of our offices and letting people make their own deeply personal healthcare decisions, this isn't going to be solved. I spent the weekend last weekend in Washington, D.C., talking with friends who are in Alabama, and frankly, they're at their wits' end.
I bet.
they don't know how to. I mean, one of my colleagues said, I just don't know when enough is enough. Like, I don't know what the final thing is going to be, but I feel like I am getting to that point where I just can't stay here and practice medicine anymore. And, you know, I've heard that from so many colleagues. Idaho has lost 25% of their OBGYNs in less than 2 years. They don't have any high-risk pregnancy doctors left because it's such a hostile environment. And patients, people, families are there wanting to have kids and facing really complicated situations, and they've got nobody to take care of them because the environment is so
toxic.
Burdensome. It's so toxic.
That's just terrifying. It is. That's just terrifying. And the thing about this thing they did in Alabama now, the whole sticking point is when you go through IVF, if I'm wrong, stop me. You go through IVF, they try numerous times. You have numerous embryos at one time, and then you freeze some of them, right?
It all depends on, so for a man, it's easy to get sperm, but for a woman, it's a whole process,
right,
of hormones. And then they actually, I'm going to get graphic here for a second. So as a woman is super ovulating, her ovaries are just loaded with follicles and those eggs are just ready to go, they put a big needle in her vagina and they extract those eggs from the ovaries. And some people have 2 eggs and some people have 20 eggs. And then they put the sperm and the eggs together, either in a petri dish or they'll actually inject the sperm directly into the eggs. And they see which of these fertilized eggs then start to grow. And it's at that point that things start to get tricky in states like Alabama. Because remember, half of all pregnancies that we know of end in miscarriage.
Yep.
Things happen super early in pregnancy when cells are dividing so rapidly. Things happen so that every single fertilized egg certainly does not end up or even have the potential to become a baby. And it's between the time of fertilization and the time of birth that so much stuff happens that we need to be able to acknowledge really what's going on medically, what's going on inside of, in these specific scenarios, and address them specifically individually.
Well, and again, from what I understand with this latest signing in Alabama that the governor signed, they still haven't determined what to do with these leftover frozen embryos. That's the sticking point, because if they're humans, if they are classified as humans, you can never get rid of them. You can never destroy them. And this doesn't do anything to address that issue.
Yeah, there are people in Alabama right now who have frozen embryos who just want them to be sent to Georgia or somewhere else where they can actually do their IVF treatments. And the company won't allow them to be transported because they're concerned that something could happen in the transport. And if an embryo is destroyed, then can they get in trouble? And it seems like the bill that they have passed, the new law, will protect them. But there are so many tricky little legal consequences that people in Alabama do not feel reassured that this is going to be enough. If they don't solve this fundamental problem, this is going to continue to snowball and continue to prevent people from getting just basic health care.
Yeah, it's called like looking further down the road at potential consequences of our decisions. I know that seems wacky, but, you know, some people do that. Before we have to end our time, I have a physiological question for you, Dr.
Oh, God.
Nyland.
Oh, man.
Here we go.
And this is related to our friend Emmett Martin in North Carolina, who was interviewed by NBC earlier this week on Super Tuesday. And he's talking about brains. And Gavin, let's play this clip, and then I want to get Dr. Lyerly's medical opinion on where we find our brains. Play that clip, Kelvin.
What do you think of Nikki Haley? Did you ever consider her?
You know, what I got to say, you don't really want to put it on.
Let me hear it.
Well, a woman's not going to be a good president. She have no balls to scratch. She's just going to scratch her head. All a woman's good for in my book is having babies and taking care of the house. But that's the old thing, you know. But I'm old school.
So you never even considered her?
No.
Mainly because she's a woman?
Because she's female. So, I mean, females, don't get me wrong, females know what they're doing, but they still got to have a little bit of guidance.
So just to clarify, Dr. Lyerly, as a physician, where are a person's brains located? Are they in your balls? Or are they in your head? Because I think Emmett is confused.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe we should ask. There's a veterinarian in Door County who could maybe help us out with that.
Dr. Joel Kitchens.
Dr. Kitchens. But he could probably address. You're right. Really, he could probably address this better.
Really,
I'm
quick,
just
though.
A woman, so yeah. I don't know that I have the ability to.
As a female, we all need guidance.
Don't worry, ladies, females. I have this covered. Dr. Lily, from now on, I'll be following you into the exam rooms, overseeing what's happening, just to make sure you get your cute little appointments right. Because I'm the one here to make sure the heads get scratched and the other places get scratched, and it'll free you to think about dinner and the house. But you're doing, but don't worry,
all those medical things.
But don't worry, you're doing a great job. I'm just here for guidance.
Dr. Kristen,
I'm getting creeped out.
Dr. Kristen Lyerly joins us every Thursday from 11 to 11:30 for our public service announcement. You can always ask her a question. Send it in to janesays@civicmedia.us. Dr. Lyerly, so great to see you. We will do this again next week.
I love hanging out with you guys.
Stay close. News is next on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Working in a two-bit room. Tired of being said, it's old faded nuts, but sure to be his door. But doom don't mean a thing to me. It's all a lot of time. Just give me a fight. I'm put a lead pipe in a ticket to New York. Doctor, doctor, you know I feel so bad. Doctor, doctor, she was the best thing I never had. Doctor, doctor, come on with the cure. Doctor, doctor, living right and the pain is so
everybody get up, it's time to slam now. We got the real jam going down. Welcome to the Space Jam. Here's your chance, do your dance.
Good morning. Welcome to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Bach, Calvin, coming to you live from our studio in downtown Waukesha. You can always join us. Call or text at 855-75-CIVIC. Or join us on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter. Just a reminder as well, the State of the Union address will be tonight, and you can catch it here on Civic Media. Stuart J. Waddles, who is our Southeast Wisconsin News Bureau chief, along with Maggie Dawn, host of the Maggie Dawn Show, will be hosting tonight's State of the Union address. Starts at 8 p.m. on select Civic Media stations. There are several stations that are going to be running the Badger game instead, but you can always go to civicmedia.us and find the State of the Union address somewhere there. As he does every other Thursday, our sports guru from Journal Sentinel, J.R. Radcliffe, is here. Good morning, J.R. Thank you for joining us. And I just want to apologize because you always come into our conversations with Dr. Lyerly at weird moments, and you never catch the context of the conversation.
Yeah, I jumped in, and Greg is talking about scratching stuff, and I'm just like, oh well, maybe I'll check back out and come back a little bit later. It's none of my business.
Sometimes they itch.
It was a physiological question. We had a doctor on, so I just want to clarify the location of human brains. I thought it was vital in that instance. Anyway, moving on. I saw you mention this a couple of weeks ago in the paper, and I really, really want to start with this. Aaron Rodgers biography in the works for a release.
Yes.
This year. When is this brilliant tome coming out about Aaron Rodgers?
Yeah, well, it sounds like it'll be here in August, right before the start of the season. So Ian O'Connor is writing it. He has profiled a number of pretty big sports celebrities before. Mike Krzyzewski, the former Duke coach. Derek Jeter of the New York Yankees, Arnold Palmer and Jack Nicklaus. When he has done the last couple he's done have been sort of without the subjects input to a degree, you know, I guess unauthorized would be the terminology, sure. But like he didn't even interview them. It's more like talking to the people who know that person. So in that sense, I don't know, like I'd be interested kind of, I got to admit, you know, as overloaded as I think we all are with Aaron Rodgers content, so much of that is just Aaron Rodgers talking. It would be nice to hear from other people who maybe know a little bit about him. I do think he is a fascinating character. It is often for bad, but many times for good. And I just want to see what other people's impressions of him are and how they've evolved over time, if that's part of the book. Now, Ian O'Connor is New York-based. His interest in this subject might be purely from a New York perspective, and him, you know, Aaron Rodgers going to the Jets was obviously a very big deal. So I imagine the idea kind of I don't know if it started there, but I would imagine that's a big part of it. But I got to admit, I'm a little curious. I kind of want to see what's going on in there. It's a little bit like watching a train wreck, but I still kind of want to see it. So
the name of the book just kills me, though. Out of the Darkness, the Mystery of Aaron Rodgers. That was the exact reaction I had.
Oh, my God.
It's like, come on.
Was a Daniel Steele novel? Jeez.
I do think I can appreciate the wink and the nod to the Darkness Retreat in there. I would hope it's written with a little bit of levity, a little bit of sense of perspective on that, and not just like, you know, a Barbara Walters interview, like, tell me your innermost secrets.
Yeah.
I would hope it's more the former. I guess it remains to be seen. I am fascinated to know what's going to be happening there. So hopefully I'll be able to get my hands on a book a little early, can do a little previewing, and we'll see, we'll see where the highlights are.
I just hope like it says like, you know, 2020 and on, it just on the book, taped to the book is just a little vial of gasoline and a bunch of matches. And then you're just going to light the book on fire and be like, that's it. That's the rest of his career. That's what he did to himself.
I would hope, like you said, JR, I do hope he still has some sense of levity. It just seems like he's gotten way too serious about himself and his own excellence, shall we say, that it's just a bit much.
Yeah,
it is so much. So much.
Go on.
Go ahead, Greg. Well, I'm curious to know what happens with the Packers organization in terms of what does 5 years from now look like, or 7 years when he's done playing? The way that Brett Favre left this organization, everyone was very scorned. And then he came back, after a while that healed over the course of 5 years, and he was welcomed back and celebrated. And of course, it's actually soured more since then because of Brett Favre's involvement in a Mississippi fraud scandal. So they got the right window, I guess, if you're in Favre's camp. I am so curious to know about what Aaron Rodgers has done. Ultimately, when he left this organization, it wasn't the same level of acrimony, really. I mean, I'm sure there are fans who wished he had stayed, Aaron Rodgers, but it was for the better of the Packers. It wasn't, there wasn't like a sense of divorce as much as like the Packers also need to move on. It felt very mutual. So I'm really curious to know 5 years from now, if people are like, yeah, we still don't want to deal with Aaron Rodgers. I guess some of that might be what comes next. This book could be part of that, however we find him 5 years from now might be exactly how the Packers feel about him.
I have a feeling Wisconsinites are more like, oh, get over yourself.
Yeah.
Seriously. I mean, you were you're a great quarterback. Great. You're not a philosopher.
Please stop philosophizing.
Yes, please stop.
Talking on television.
Make it stop.
Well, you bring up the thing of like his sense of levity. I don't think he has one, because his version of levity now is calling Travis Kelce Mr. Pfizer. Yes. Like he thinks that's
hilarious.
That's his level of funny. So I don't foresee him having a really good attitude towards this book unless it is so pro Aaron Rodgers, and even still, I'll bet you he's still going to be annoyed.
Yeah. Oh, I completely agree, because it's not his idea. It's not his, his story. I'm sure he's going to be annoyed. Derek Jeter, when Ian O'Connor wrote about him, Derek Jeter distanced himself immediately from it.
Yeah.
And as far as I know, there wasn't anything in the book that was that dramatic. I mean, certainly I don't remember anything about it, so it wasn't lasting, I guess, if I'm using myself as an anecdotal example. So I'm sure Aaron Rodgers is going to say, it's all lies, media and lies, et cetera, as he is wont to do. I'm less concerned about Aaron Rodgers' levity. He has none, and more about like the writer's levity, Ian O'Connor. Yeah. Is he going to come at this from sort of a little bit more lighthearted, a little bit more like, he went to the dark side. Here's a little bit more what was going on, what he's like, that sort of thing.
Well, I will be waited with bated breath until you get a copy of Out of the Darkness, The Mystery of Aaron Rodgers. And you can pass along some tidbits. I'm so excited.
Dramatic readings.
And oh, we can do dramatic readings on the show, JR. It'll be great. All right. Moving along, talking about sports. JS, Journal Sentinel sports guru JR Radcliffe is here, as he is every other Thursday. Marquette playing tonight against UConn. What are you feeling about that?
It's Wisconsin tonight against Rutgers. Marquette played last night.
Sorry about
UConn.
That.
No, that's okay. And Marquette lost. They are UConn is a top three team in the nation. They came to Milwaukee. They were able to power past Marquette, even though I think MU put up a pretty good fight, considering they are down Tyler Kolek, who is the reigning Big East player of the year. He's not going to win that award this year, but he's pretty central to what they do, their point guard. And he has, you know, suffered an oblique injury a couple games ago. He's not going to play the rest of the regular season. And there is, you know, I would say some concern about his availability after that. Is he going to play in the Big East tournament? Most importantly, is he going to play in the NCAA tournament? Marquette is a much better team with Tyler Kolek. That's no secret. So that's a big deal. Marquette has a chance to be like a 2 seed, a 3 seed kind of at worst in the tournament. They were a 2 seed last year and a bona fide opportunity. You know, they have an opportunity to like legitimately go to the Final Four. Like they have that kind of talent. It's unclear to me if there are any like really, truly good teams in college basketball this year. So it could be completely random who ends up going to the Final Four, but Marquette's very good. So the fact that they put up a fight against UConn was I think solid, even though it's a home loss. I think the way they've played without Kolek has been pretty good. And then tonight is Wisconsin. They play Rutgers, and this is a really essential game. They've gone from a top 10 team in the country to falling to a point where people are kind of asking, are they even going to make the tournament?
Yeah.
The top 10 at the end of January. Like this, it was six weeks ago. Yeah. So they have really, really struggled. They lost badly at Rutgers. Rutgers is not a good team. Wisconsin should absolutely beat them. If Wisconsin loses and then loses again to Purdue, again, another top 3 team in the nation, and then loses the first round of the Big Ten tournament and finishes the season on a losing streak, I still think they make the tournament, but it's at least up for debate at that point. So this is a game they just need this to sort of get over that hump. Like, okay, now we're not at all worried about the tournament. I think they're still in, but it sure would be nice to finish off this win against Rutgers and sort of move on with that storyline.
Speaking of basketball, let's talk about those Bucks.
Yeah. Yeah, they lost last night, which is a bummer. But
they've been on a streak.
Mm-hmm. They've been playing extremely well. They after the All-Star break, they won 6 straight games. Really a clunker of a loss going into the All-Star break. It really kind of highlighted some of the problems that they have had, and it was a really depressing loss to Memphis, actually. But they came out guns a-blazing. They beat Minnesota, one of the best teams in the West. They beat Philadelphia, an Eastern Conference contender. Then they rallied back without Giannis at home against the Los Angeles Clippers, another one of the best teams in the West. Bobby Portis was incredible. Bobby Portis incredible again, by the way, last night against Golden State. But Patrick Beverley, the new addition, was really good. So much emotion, so much energy. They rallied in the fourth quarter to win. They're hot right now. They're playing really, really well. And it does seem like Doc Rivers is working. It seems like their defense for sure is working. It's gone from bottom third in the league to one of the best in the league. Now their offense has taken a little bit of a hit as a result, but it feels like there's still so much offense in the tank that they can live with that. Chris Middleton has not been healthy here, has not played in several weeks at this point. They expect to get him back at some point soon, and that's just going to make things all the better. So they are really on a roll right now and looking like a team, you know, 2 seed in the East. Like they could easily get to the Eastern Conference Finals looking like this. And it's up for grabs if they can beat Boston when they get there, but they are talented enough to do that too. They are in a really, really good place.
I got to say, I really appreciate Doc Rivers' no-nonsense post-game roundups, because I'm starting to grow in my basketball fandom. You heard it right, folks. That's right. I'm starting to like basketball. Like last night, he was just like, you can't say anything about the defense. The defense was great, but we just played bad. We passed bad. And he does, and it's like almost like
he doesn't sugarcoat
it. It's like he's like, I'll give you 30 seconds and then I'm walking away. But he just, yeah, doesn't sugarcoat it, makes it very simple, and doesn't try to be diplomatic either.
He is very media friendly. Yeah. Very different from, I mean, I think I've said this before, but Mike Budenholzer, who said almost nothing,
you know,
by design. And then Adrian Griffin, who was a little more forthcoming, but, you know, it was his first job. And I don't know. I don't know if we quite had the media savvy that we have now with Doc Rivers, who's, again, done this for a quarter century. So, I think with a veteran team, there is a little more leeway. You know, we sort of, I think last time talked, or I've talked at some point about you know, the leeway Doc Rivers has to sort of aggressively call out the veterans when they're not playing well.
Yeah.
Even though he's brand new to this team and just parachuted in midway through the season, you know, that's a read on the locker room. You read that, okay, these guys can handle that. They maybe even want that level of sort of
they respect him.
Respect him, exactly. I think what we're seeing is it's probably a good thing. You know, yeah. It's obviously all of this is preamble to what happens in the postseason. That's truly the only thing that matters for this organization.
Right.
That's already a playoff team. But it is encouraging because they were in a place where you couldn't quite picture them making a big playoff run, and now it's different. Now the Bucks are as good as any team in the East. That's pretty sweet.
We're gonna wrap things up. We started off our conversation talking about the book about Aaron Rodgers that's expected to come out in August called Out of the Darkness, The Mystery of Aaron Rodgers. Papa Rico on our live stream says, I hope there's a coupon in the back of the book for a discount on ayahuasca.
That would be a great tie, and I love that.
If you want, you know, if this author wants to sell more books, that would be a little incentive there.
And if you're not vaccinated, another 10% off.
Bring in your proof of non-vaccination.
Your proof of immunized. What did you say? I'm immunized.
I am. Yeah, I've been immunized.
Okay.
Famous line from
Rodgers. Famous line. All
dork.
Right. Thank you so much, JR. We will see you in a couple of weeks. Journal Sentinel sports guru. You can read him all the time in the Journal Sentinel. JR Radcliffe, thank you so very much.
Bye, guys. See you
Take
soon.
Care.
See you later.
Stay close. You're listening to Matt and Air on Air, coming to you across the Civic Media Radio Network. Welcome to Matt and Air on Air. So very happy to have you with us. Jane Matt and Air, Greg Bach, Calvin, coming to you from our studio in downtown Waukesha. Shout out to everybody in Madison listening on WMDX, wherever you are across the state, around the country, around the globe. You can call or text at 855-75-CIVIC if you download the Civic Media app, Greg Bach.
I hope someday we can get an astronaut to listen to us on the ISS.
That'd be great.
Civic Media on the International Space Station.
All they need to do is download the Civic Media app. They can call and text directly from that app. Or join the party on the live stream.
Good
on
Lord.
Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter, because they have a great, great time.
We don't even need to be there.
Like, no, I know. They have their own entirely separate party. I did want to share this real quick text from Wes from Middleton. We were talking about Aaron Rodgers coming out, well, the book, a biography about him. It's not an autobiography. It's called Out of the Darkness, The Mystery of Aaron Rodgers, is going to be out in August. We were talking to Journal Sentinel sports reporter J.R. Radcliffe about this, and Wes says, the mystery about Aaron Rodgers is he's a giant pseudo-intelligent douche. It's one person's opinion. Thank you for that, Wes.
You're a douche.
I think you hit Greg's funny bone with that one. We appreciate that.
That one was a ball scratcher.
Nice callback.
Yeah.
Speaking of laughs, let's talk about the laughing tap.
Let's not just talk about the laughing tap, Jane. Let's talk about comedy in general all weekend. We got shows all weekend.
All weekend long.
Milwaukee Comedy, which is the parent company of the Laughing Tap, which is the owner of the Laughing Tap. We have a show tonight called A Dandy Comedy Show, which is at Dandy, which is a cool resale shop slash events venue.
Oh, neat.
So it's going to be four comics from all over the state.
Where is that?
It's on Voliet Street. Okay. So there's the, if you get off.
I know exactly where you're talking about.
Exactly. It's right by the police station, right by the, there's an Irish pub right down the street from it. So that show is happening, 7:30, $15 tickets. Great time.
Great price.
This weekend, Akeem Woods is going to be in town. He's been on Late Late Show with James Corden. He's been on NBC. He's been on Comedy Central. He is fantastic. We'll play a clip of him in a moment. And then, but finally on Sunday, Keg Stand-Up, 6:30.
For old people to go to.
I love this show. It's done by 8. I'm home by 9.
Sweet.
Once again, just like Dandy, four comics, $15. Plus, it's at Lakefront Brewery, which they have the full menu of beer and food on it. You get a server. It's like a comedy club experience. No minimums.
Nice.
But someone comes to your table, takes your order, brings food and drinks. $15.
Starts at 6:30.
Starts at 6:30.
That's wonderful.
It's going to still be daylight when it happens.
Because the switch happens this
weekend.
Exactly,
the switch.
And we're going to talk about that evilness tomorrow.
Yes, we will. But before we do that, so like I said, Akeem Woods this weekend at the Laughing Tap, 3 shows, 1 Friday, 2 Saturday. Tickets are $22 online, laughingtap.com, or $25 at the door. And no drink minimums. Just a good time. We do have a clip. Excuse me. Sorry, I had a little bit of a cough there. We do have a clip. Calvin, can you play the clip of Akeem, please?
He doesn't have it.
He does not
have
it.
That's all right. Not a problem, Calvin.
Okay.
Take a look for it.
Yeah.
You can also go on YouTube and just put in Akeem, I would assume.
Akeem.
Akeem.
Yep. A-K-E-E-M. Woods. W-O-O-D-S.
Now we got it.
Wonderful. Let's play that clip.
Don't act surprised that I'm gay. You see this hat? Like, super gay. I grew up in Florida. Don't recommend it. And... only thing that sucks about growing up in Florida, right? It's really conservative, right? So, like, I never got a chance to come out to my mom. Like, she died before I can come out. Don't worry, it gets funny. And, but, like, I know she knew I was gay because she treated me and my brother so differently. Like, I remember one day my brother came home from school. He was like, hey, mom, can I spend the night at Christina's house? And my mom looked up. She's like, no, of course not. And my brother got mad because I was sitting right next to him. He's like, yo, that's not fair. You let Akeem spend the night at Chelsea's house all the time. And my mom got quiet. She's like, well, that's because I trust Akeem. Like, which was her way of saying, listen, I know he's gay. Like, he can spend the night at Chelsea's house, but I'd be damned if he spends the night at Victor's house. Like, I was trying to sleep with Victor. I was trying my best. Like,
that is Akeem.
Akeem Woods.
Okay, Akeem Woods.
Yeah, so,
that's
yep.
Really funny.
Three shows, 1 Friday, 2 Saturday, $22 online. Buy your tickets. A quarter of each show are gone. And that, at this point, on a Wednesday.
It's Thursday.
Yeah, Saturday will sell out early. Friday will most likely sell out the day of, if not the day before. And then Saturday night at 10 p.m., you can come on down, but get your tickets now.
LaughingTap.com.
Yep.
And for the Sunday show, is that Milwaukee Comedy?
Yes, MilwaukeeComedy.com for tonight's show as well as Sunday's show. Tonight's show is called A Dandy Comedy Show. Sunday's show is called Keg Stand-Up, $15. I'll be at all those shows. Come on down.
Say hello.
I'll give you a high five. We can make fun of Aaron Rodgers together. And if you're a man, me and you will go around and just ask various women if they need our help with anything. Because when we were talking to Dr. Lyerly, we found out that men... really, we guide the women, don't we, Jane? You say yes now.
No.
Darn it!
Just a reminder, if you would like to catch the State of the Union address tonight, our own Stuart Jay Waddles, who is our Southeast Wisconsin News Bureau Chief, and the incomparable Maggie Dawn, host of the Maggie Dawn Show, 2 to 4 p.m., they are going to be hosting President Biden's State of the Union address tonight. Starts at 8 p.m. on select civic media stations. You can always go to our website. Check out the news tab. Our news team has been rocking our news site, and the whole website is terrific.
Sign up for the newsletter. You're going to get the opportunity to get the best of civic media sent to your mailbox every Monday. I think that's cool as well. We're just getting to, whether it's podcasts, sign up for a podcast, review us, give us a 5-star review if you earned it.
Subscribe.
Yep. comment.
Appreciate that.
Just be great. Because you are.
Close. We have news on the way. Then Todd Alba from noon to 2 p.m. He's terrific and our great friend. And then Maggie Dawn from 2 to 4 p.m. coming to you across the network. Thank you, as always, everyone, for listening and calling and texting. Greg and Calvin, this wouldn't happen without you, and it certainly wouldn't happen without all of you listening. I hope you find some joy today and you have the chance to share it. Keep it here on the Civic Media Radio Network.